Bonnie, the show is opening today, and we talked last Thursday when you were about to move everything into the venue. Describe the venue. Some of our listeners may not know that it's a huge deal aside from the National Quilting Museum.
Oh, it certainly is. The quilt show itself has events going on in 5 different locations. We use all of the Expo Center. We use both levels, first and second floor of the convention center, the pavilion, which some people call the big white marshmallow, and then we also have things going on down at the Finkel building that's right across from the Carson Center. So there are things going on all over downtown Paducah.
Sort of block out the main sections and what people can experience and see and buy and do.
Okay, well, of course, in the Expo Center is where they will find the best of show and the big top prize winners, right in the middle of the room. Surrounding that will be the large wall quilts and the bed-sized quilts, and the rest of the room will be filled with vendors as part of the Merchant Mall. In the first floor, there will be the Egyptians. We have 2 of the tent makers of Cairo coming back to joining us this year, and a great exhibit from the Studio Art Quilts Associates called Masters 2, and those are wonderful art quilts. They'll be surrounded all the way around the perimeter by vendors. Second floor is the wall quilts, with the best wall quilt will be displayed there, and the miniatures, and more vendors. The pavilion has some special exhibits, quilted in honor, some patriotic quilts, some modern quilt challenge, and our AQS authors exhibit, and vendors. Now, of course, down at the Finkel building, we have vendors, and then everybody's favorite, the Hurt book sale, will be in the back room. So there's lots to see and do.
Tell me, traveling-wise, among the venues, and how many thousands of people are going to be in Paducah, and how do you facilitate everybody getting around without getting grouchy?
Well, I have to tell you, it's always a challenge, because when you more than double the population of a community, it is a challenge to just to do everything, to feed people, to move them around the city, make sure they get to the events they want to go to. Fortunately, we have a very supportive community of hoteliers and also some of the attractions, the Rotary that's at the Civic Center, and Eleanor Burns is at 3 different locations. They all pay for the service for us to have shuttles. That we have a shuttle stop right there next to the convention center, and it will go. There will be buses that will be going out to the hotels and all of those other stops that are participating. They can't stop if they aren't participating, but that's how we get them around the city. And then, of course, downtown, we have the trolleys run their normal routes downtown that people can hop on and off any place there's a trolley sign. And to get to, like, the Carson Center or to the Finkel building, there's a shuttle bus that makes that route. So they want to park their car and probably leave it in the same place, because that space won't be there if you try to come back. And all the streets downtown will be parked full of cars. And because of that, we also have auxiliary parking out at the Carson Park. And there's an express bus that goes back and forth from there down to the convention center. So if they're coming into town, when they see the Dairy Queen, if they turn at that corner and go to Carson Park, that's probably one of the easiest places. If they're having trouble parking, I would encourage them to go to Carson Park and then ride the shuttle back and forth.
Great idea. You mentioned a couple of things, Rotary at the Civic Center and Eleanor Burns. Did I get the name right? What are those venues?
Well, the Rotary Club, for years, I think we've been doing the show 30 years, and I believe they're having their 27th antique quilt show at the Civic Center. And this is a way that they earn money for scholarships for students in our community. And they always have an antique exhibit, and then they have the Hoffman Challenge, which is a challenge that is a nationwide challenge to quilters, and everybody is always thrilled when their quilt gets selected for that challenge. So that's the Rotary, and it's open on Tuesday, which it opens the day before the show, and then is open all the show days as well, Wednesday through Saturday. And Eleanor Burns has a shop downtown, and then she has a building at 509 Jefferson and also a warehouse on Kentucky Avenue. She'll have things going on at all three of those locations during the show. She also will be doing an evening event for us at the Carson Center on Wednesday evening. You know, Eleanor is a pioneer in this industry, and she's celebrating 35 years of being in the business. And then another big event that we're having is the Ricky Timms evening on Friday night at the Carson Center. And the title of his program this time is Don't Let the Cowboy Hat Fool You. He's a very talented quilter and musician, and everybody is always excited to have him come and be a part of our program.
This event is something for which you need more than one day.
You can't possibly cover everything that you want to do in one day. It would be hard to even just walk through all of the venues in a single day. And I would encourage people to have two or three days that they spend here. Many of the quilters come for like 5 days and go to the museum and the Rotary, and the Finkel Building is open on Tuesday. And then the rest of the week they can spend at the show itself. So it's a full week event, and we try to make it fun for them. And of course, we have hundreds of quilts on exhibit besides all of the vendors and all the goodies they have in their booths.
Now, Bonnie, I want to know, do the judges' eyeballs just get really weary of delight after going through these quilts?
Well, I think for everybody it's a little bit of quilt overload, because we do have we do attract some of the very best quilts in the industry. But I can tell you that typically, I'm a judge myself, usually the cream rises to the top. By the time you sort them out and they're looking for that best of show quilt, they're choosing that best of show from amongst the first place winners. And we hang every one of those, so there are no surprises for the judges on how it would hang, because they're judged basically laying flat on a table. We hold them up a little bit, but you still can't at that point see how they would hang. When they get ready to choose best of show, all of the quilts are hanging on a rod just like they would if they were hanging in the show. So if there's any ripples in it, they're going to see that. And, you know, sometimes that's the difference between winning that big prize and not winning it.
A simple craftsmanship difference. Wow.
It very well could be. And, you know, it may be the difference between somebody who blocked their quilt and somebody who didn't. And blocking a quilt is very similar. You know, back in the old days, we used to block our sweaters, mm-hmm. where you laid them out and you pinned them to size and lay there to dry. That's exactly what they do with the quilts. And sometimes when you quilt a quilt, the thread will tend to pull up a little bit, or maybe it's the batting. If you get moisture on it, we'll wet it down any, it'll pull up a little bit. And so myself, I just pin that quilt to the floor and spray it with water and let it lay there and dry. And now it's going to stay in that formation until something that happens to it that you change that, fold it all up or crinkle it up. That's what many of the best of show winners do, is they make sure that those quilts are laying as flat as they possibly can.
We would be remiss if we did not dispel the myth that Paducah is being besieged by women quilters.
Well, you know what? I have to tell you, there are more and more male quilters in the quilting world every year. As well, there are more and more husbands and wives coming to the show together than we've seen in past years.
Great.
That's nice to know, because I think it really proves that the quilts are being appreciated as the art that they are. And, you know, that was why the AQS, the American Quilter Society, was founded by Bill and Meredith Schrader, is that they wanted to be able to reward the artists that were making these quilts like they deserve to be. And now here we are in our 30th year, and we have, when we conclude our show, when we award the prizes this year, we will have given over $3.7 million in prize money to quilt makers.
That's just astounding.
That certainly is. But I think it goes to show that there is value to what used to be called women's art. We used it as making bedding for our quilts. In those 30 years that this organization has been going, we certainly have turned the tide of that this is no longer just utilitarian, that we are doing it as art.
Bonnie, thank you for speaking with me.
Okay, well, make sure everybody comes to the show. Our hours are 9 to 6 Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and 9 to 5 on Saturday. And believe me, they won't be disappointed because the quilts this year are absolutely beautiful.